Good morning. How's everybody doing? Well, hey, as that just indicated, this series is not yet rated, so we're going to send our kids up to Revolution Kids Church. But that said, I'll try and keep a PG today, so no worries. Well, 19 years ago, Disney came out with a movie starring Bruce Willis called The Kid. Anybody remember that one? A few, okay. We got the fan club over here. A few over here. All right. And as far as movies go, well, it's a far cry from, say, Die Hard or Tears of the Sun or Sixth Sense or the other Bruce Willis movies, but it's still got a powerful message of what it means to follow our dreams and the kinds of things that can get in the way. We started this series 6 weeks ago with The Lion King. And if you remember, we talked about dreaming big. We talked about some of the lies that we believe that can hold us back and about our identity as rulers in the kingdom of God. And I've been gone on vacation, but I've heard just some incredible, incredible messages since then. I want to bring it full circle today with this message, which I've titled, Do We Ever Stop Blowing It? It's going to be a good one. So, our scripture comes from Matthew chapter 23 today, and it's a long one, and I'm just going to do some excerpts from this passage because otherwise we'd be here all day. But I'm going to read it to you, and you can follow along on the screens. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you travel across the sea and land to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, and then the outside may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we'd lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I told you it's going to be good. Well, for those of you who haven't seen this movie, I want to introduce you to a guy named Russ Duritz. Russ is an almost 40-year-old a few days before his birthday, and he's an image consultant. Now, if you're not sure what an image consultant is, according to the movie anyway, it is a loser who helps people learn to lie about themselves so they can pretend to be somebody they're not, right? So I want you to think his clients, they're politicians, they're Hollywood actors and actresses, they're news anchors, they're people of prominence who are rather crooked inside but trying to put on the best front to the world. And as you can imagine, for a guy who does this for a living, he's a rather pompous, cynical, hateful, judgmental kind of a person. A person that doesn't care about anybody else and certainly not how they feel. But you don't have to take my word for it. Let's watch and see. What a jerk, right? But you know, Russ wasn't always this way. And a little bit into the movie, Russ encounters this kid, this 8-year-old kid, who shows up on his doorstep and won't leave him alone. Now, it doesn't take him too long to figure out who they are. This kid is Russ when he was just shy of his 8th birthday. And he shows up into his life, and Russ is just embarrassed. And he thinks he's this embarrassing, dorky, total loser of a kid, and he can't get rid of him. And he tries therapy, and he tries medication. Nothing gets rid of this kid. Well, finally, he gets some advice from a woman in a bar. The woman you saw on the plane that he said, your hair's too big or whatever. And she says, you know, Russ, why wouldn't your 8-year-old self time travel here to give you a hand? You're obviously in trouble, and maybe he can straighten you out. What gets me the most about this movie is not so much that Russ is embarrassed of himself as a kid. What gets me is how embarrassed the kid is of who he turns out to be. Let me introduce you to 8-year-old Rusty. Man, when do we ever stop blowing it? You know, regardless of how I feel about my younger self, watching these scenes makes me ask the question, how would the kid in me feel about myself today? Am I living a life that I would have looked forward to when I was 8? Would I be proud of who I've become? And you know, I'm not sure that the answer has to be yes there, because God has this way of getting our attention, of changing our perspectives and our priorities, and I'm so glad that he's done that since I was 8 years old. You know, and Disney doesn't really get that part either. They don't get the God intervening kind of part. But if you'd asked me when I was 8 years old, and a lot of people did ask me, are you going to follow in your dad's footsteps? Are you going to be a pastor? I'd just look him square in the eye and then say, absolutely not. No way. Uh-uh. I knew for a fact I was not going to do that. But these questions, they're deeper than occupation. They're deeper than what we do, aren't they? They're more about who we are. Do we ever stop blowing it, he asks. Because at this point in his life, Russ has screwed up everything. He screwed up his relationships. He screwed up his family. He's screwed up the joy and the peace in his life. And he screwed up so many other people's lives as well. So that woman in the bar who gives him this advice about his 8-year-old self says, look, Russ, you're turning 40 tomorrow, and you have not acquired a single thing of real value in your life. And no money doesn't count. So, you know, whether I wanted to be a pastor or not isn't really the question. The question is, would I have looked up to me? Am I the kind of person who would have been a good role model to my 8-year-old self? Am I a good role model to my 2-year-old son? Am I a good role model to my wife? Am I a good role model to my friends, to my church? What kind of life am I living today? Jesus gave 7 woes, 7 concerns, 7 warnings to the Pharisees in our scripture today. Hypocrites, he called them, blind guides. Let's see what he said. He said, you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would to go in. You travel across sea and land to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. You've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. You clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you're full of hypocrisy, full of lawlessness. Jesus could be describing Russ to a T, couldn't he? Image consultant, huh? A loser who helps people learn to lie about themselves so they can pretend to be somebody that they're not. Now, I know you've heard me tell this story before, but I can remember the day as a teenager locking myself in my room and crying out to God because it was the only place that I felt I could really be myself. You see, my family was falling apart, but on the outside, we had everything together. I was the good preacher's kid and had to be all over town. It was a small town of about 6,000 people. So everybody knew me. And I had to be one person to my peers and another one to my teachers, one person at church, another one to my parents, another person at my job. I was faking it everywhere I went. And the only place that I felt that I could be that weak, scared, lonely, confused, insecure, sensitive kid was there alone in my room by myself, crying out just to be accepted and loved for me, for who I am, not for who I pretended to be. Now, I tell this, and people always bring up Paul and say, well, didn't Paul say, I've become all things to all people so that I might by all means save a few? But we take this wildly out of context because I'm not talking about not meeting people where they're at. I'm talking about hiding who we are and covering up Christ in us in order to fit in. Avoiding spiritual talk at work because we don't want people to look at us funny. Knowing that we're supposed to go and pray for that person, but we don't do it because we're afraid they're going to judge us. Not raising our hands or dancing in the aisles during worship. That's what old people think. Acting one way at church and another to the person who serves us lunch later. Watching that TV show we really shouldn't, but just because we like to talk about it with our friends the next day. Telling dirty jokes around the water cooler just to get a few laughs. We have the happy family in public, but behind closed doors, what are we doing? Yelling, screaming, name-calling. And whether we're hiding Christ to try and fit in with the crowd, or whether we're trying to put on the front of Christ to try and hide the wickedness that we see inside, faking it is never the right answer. Now, Disney does get this part. I mean, you've seen all these movies. You've seen Aladdin. He fakes it, and everybody loves the fake Aladdin, right? He comes in on this big parade, and everyone thinks he's great, except for the one woman he's trying to impress, the one woman who loves him just the way he is. Or Mulan. Mulan says, if I were to truly be myself, I would break my family's heart. Must there be a secret me I'm forced to hide? Must I pretend that I'm someone else for all time? When will my reflection show who I am inside? What about Moana? I'll be satisfied if I play along, but the voice inside sings a different song. What is wrong with me? And of course, there's Elsa. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. But now they know. Everybody, let it go. Oh, okay, all right. I think about the harm that I did for so many years because I was faking it. Because I was putting on a front. I think about the people who I led to be twice the children of hell that I was. And I repent. But repenting is more than regret. Repenting is more than asking forgiveness. Repenting is determining to be different. Repenting is beginning to live a genuine life. And I know being genuine can hurt a lot of feelings too. So I'll just apologize to you all right now. But living a genuine life is not permission to be a jerk. Living a genuine life is liberating. Living a genuine life calls me not to fake it, but to decide every moment of every day to be genuinely good. To decide every moment, as this genuine life calls me higher, to live holy and blameless, a life that I'm not ashamed, that I don't have to hide from anybody. And that's what makes the heroes in all these stories, right? It's when they realize that they had it in them all along, that the world really needs who they are, not who they're trying to be. And when they stop faking it, and they stop putting on those fronts and those images that have only fooled people for a moment, that always fall apart in the end, they become the true heroes we all need. And I know Marvel tries to tell us a different story, and the X-Men and the Avengers and Batman and Superman, they all tell us the heroes behind the mask. But true heroes are not wearing a mask. The true heroes are the ones out there saving the world just by being who they are. We started this series 6 weeks ago with The Lion King. And there was something I told you in that message. I said, if there's one thing I want you to remember from this message, it's this, because I knew this was coming up. Anyone remember what that was? All right. Scars lie. Lies tell us that we're someone who we're not. And the enemy of our souls knows that if we actually realized who we are, if we realize that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if we realize that we are powerful and gifted and loving and world-changing heroes like God created us to be, he would lose his grip on this world. And just like Scar, he would not have a chance to rule anymore. So he lies. And he tells us that we're not who God says we are. And he tells us that we don't have what it takes. And he tells us that we're no good. And he tells us these lies, just like he did at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, the very first sin. What does he do? He says to Eve, did God really say that? And he makes us question who we are. Well, this happened to Russ in our story, too. He finally realizes that 8-year-old Rusty is there to show him something from his past. So he asks Rusty to share some memories with him, and he starts sharing these memories, and it all starts flooding back to Russ until he finds himself stuck in this memory 32 years ago on his 8th birthday, the day he got into a fight in the schoolyard with a bunch of bullies who were picking on a 3-legged dog, innocent dog, and he's standing up for it, and he gets beat up in the process. Well, the principal calls his house, and his mom has to come pick him up. And what we find out in this scene is that his mother is dying, and she's not supposed to leave the house. So she picks him up, brings him home, and we pick up the movie where his father comes home from work, and let's see what happens. So now that we're either crying or putting on a front to not let everyone know that we're crying, this is the moment where Rusty believed a lie, several lies, actually. And the first lie that he believes here is that crying is weak, and he won't do it again for 32 more years. I think many of us have those moments. I can still remember mine, the same teenager, standing in the living room in a fight with my parents, and I made that decision, said, I'm not going to feel anymore. It hurts too much. I'm just not going to feel. And Rusty also believed he was responsible for his mother's death. These are the memories that he tried to erase, that he tried to leave behind, that he tried to wipe out, just like Amy talked to us about last week with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. But even though he didn't cry, same for me, even though I didn't show what I was feeling for a long time after that, the pain was still the same on the inside. In fact, the pain grew and grew and grew. And the effort to hide that pain behind a public image just gets harder and harder and harder. Healing from these kinds of lies is not easy. But I want to give you a couple of tips today, if I can. Certainly not an exhaustive list, but some things I hope will help you along the way. And the first one is this. Don't go digging. God's going to bring things up in the right time if you're continually seeking after his truth. John 8:32 says, the truth will set you free. And as you discover this truth in your life, as you discover more of his truth, the lies are going to become apparent. Right? I'm not saying, when I say this, I'm not saying that you shouldn't seek for the sources of pain in your life. I mean, if you're already dealing with consistent anger issues or addiction or habits or insecurity, please do explore where the source of that pain is, because these things are already at the surface and these symptoms are already holding you back from everything God wants for you, from the abundant life that he dreams for you. But the idea is you don't chase darkness out of a room by focusing on the darkness. You do it by turning on the light. So you don't have to go chasing after problems that you haven't found yet. All you need to do is go seeking after the truth, and everything's going to come into play. The next thing is you need community to help reorient yourself to the truth. If it's been unhealthy relationships that have helped to reinforce these lies for so long, you need healthy and encouraging relationships to help give you new perspective. That's why your church family is so important, why your renovation groups are so important, your band accountability groups are so important. We need each other to help uncover the lies, to say, you know, I hear you saying this, but that doesn't sound like you. That doesn't sound like what God would speak over you. Or I know you're putting this limit on yourself, but I know you can go beyond this. And that leads to this one, counseling. Counseling is one of the best gifts that you can give to yourself, and one of the best gifts you can give to your family, and one of the best gifts you can give to everybody around you. When you've been stuck in a lie for so long, you just need some help to change those beliefs. You need a safe place to explore these painful memories and somebody who can help guide you back to center. These lies have held you captive for so long. They've held you back from your pursuing your dreams. They've put limits on you. They put limits on your potential, on your joy, on your peace, on your fruitfulness, on your success at work, on every aspect of your life because you're believing a lie. We've got to have other people to help us get unstuck and move past our own limitations. Next is this: develop good spiritual habits. And you're in luck because this is what our next series is all about. So come back the next 5 weeks and we'll tell you all about developing good spiritual habits. But if the truth will set you free, it makes sense, right, that we need to start forming habits that are continually going to connect us with that truth. Habits like prayer, and Bible study, and service, and Sabbath. These things are going to align you with the real God and the real you that he created you to be. Not with the lies and the can-nots and the will-nots and the should-nots and the have-nots and all of those things that have been your mantra, your habit for so long. This is going to help connect you with the truth. And finally, bringing us back to the Lion King, when you're dealing with lies, don't forget to dream big. Dreams reflect who we are, for better or for worse. If they're selfish dreams, maybe they're revealing to us that we need to do some heart work and figure out what's going on in there. But if there are the God dreams that we talked about at the beginning of this series, these bigger than us kind of dreams, what they do is they reflect who God is and they reflect who God created us to be. Did you know that God has a dream for your life? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He has a plan for your life, a plan to prosper you, he says, to give you a future and a hope. There's one last thing I want to share with you this morning. Rusty had a dream. Remember what that dream was? He was going to have a dog. Not just any dog, but the best dog in the world, Chester. Chester was going to ride in the back of his pickup truck and catch frisbees. And what was he going to do? He was going to fly jets. He was going to be a pilot. He was going to be married. He was going to have a family. And at the end of this movie, we catch a glimpse of Russ in another 30 years. Russ is there with his dog, Chester, with his wife, the same one that he turned away at the moon scene that we saw earlier, with kids and grandkids, all getting on this plane, the Cessna jet, that he's about to fly off into some wonderful place, I'm sure. It's never too late to change. It's never too late to be who God created you to be. And I don't care if you're 20 or almost 40 or 90. Every single day is another opportunity to live true to the person that God created you to be. We don't need image consultants. We've got enough of them, right? Don't deny it. We use them every day. Magazine ads, TV ads, comparing ourselves with our neighbors, the car we drive. Are you an Apple guy or an Android, Mac or PC? What kind of clothes do you wear, right? We've got enough image consultants in our lives. The only one we really need is Jesus. And he's not out to make us into a whitewashed tomb. He's out to transform us from the inside out. When we discover who we're created to be, when we start living that identity without shame, without fear, without apology, big things are going to start happening. And look around, because big things are happening. Big things are happening here. Look at the people around this room who are leading. Look at the people around this room who you see are pursuing their dreams, and ask them their stories. Ask them how you might get involved. Ask them to disciple you and help you and mentor you and show you how to prepare and pursue God's dream in your life. Don't put it off another day. Most of all, my prayer for all of us today is this: that we would be true to ourselves and to who God created us to be. We all need you to be that person. I need you to be that person. The world needs you to be that person. Let's pray. God, again, we thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you that you have called each of us, that you've given us dreams, that you've given us gifts, that you've given us personalities, that you've placed yourself within our hearts so that we could shine. And God, we repent of all the times that we cover you up, that we cover up our own greatness, that we hide behind our own image and cover up our pain, our confusion, our weakness. Lord, we ask for your courage today to step out and to be the people that you've called us to be, to come out from the lies. And God, we ask you, as we seek your truth today, would you reveal those things to us? God, we love you so much for all that you are, all that you've been, and all that you promised to be. And we praise you in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Remember, you can't do it alone, right? So if you're not already part of a renovation group, really encourage you. Get connected. Our groups start up next week. Along with our fall kickoff, we're going to have some good grilled food and bring a dessert to share. We'll have some bounce houses and other activities just to have some fun together as a church family after worship next week. You'll also see our small group leaders next week wearing buttons that say, "I love my small group." And so talk to them. Find out how you can get connected. There's also a form on our website that you can submit if you want to join a small group, and we'll help you get connected. Well, a ton of questions today on the message. But unfortunately, none of you texted them into me, so thanks. I do want to let you know that Chrysalis is going on this week. The candlelight is tonight, and one of our own, Kea, is there with a bunch of other youth who are at this transformational event. I did this when I was in high school as well. It was really a catalyst for me moving forward, and a lot of healing happened that week. So I just want to lift her, and we've got a few folks who are there serving as well, and I'll lift up that group in prayer before we go. Father, thank you for Kea and for our volunteers and for all the youth who are at Chrysalis right now. We pray that your spirit would move among them, that you would begin even now speaking that identity, that those gifts, awakening those dreams within them. God, that you'd bring healing, that you'd bring transformation, that you would bring your kingdom here in that place. And God, we give you praise and glory for all that you're doing in her life and in all those lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So you've got a charge this morning. You know what it is? To go and live a genuine life. To go and be you. The world needs you. We need heroes like you, just to be genuine, just to love, just to be the revolution. Go in peace.